I am so excited this season is back. I'm about to cry. My God, it feels like, I said this after you left yesterday, it's felt like the longest goddamn off season of all time. Just looking at that number in the upper left-hand corner of our screen. We did it. Oh, we did it. Kimberly, get some alcohol. We made it. God damn it, we made it.
Man.
Oh, man.
And I was telling, I was, you know, talking to some people yesterday and just, you know, this city is so ready for the NBA to come back. Like, we're in Doco a lot. We, you know, concerts in the park and all this other stuff all through the summer. And I know the thought is for most cities, for a lot of people, like, hey, football comes back, we back at it. Everything works. Not here in Sacramento. Football was like, all right, that's cool. When does basketball season start? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. that's what they worried about. That's what they're excited about. And we're pretty much here, man. We're pretty much here.
Thank God, man. Media day on Monday. Kenny will be there. And then the first practice on Tuesday. Just tremendous stuff. Appreciate everybody who caught that. Big thanks to Jill Adge, who appears to have been tweeting notes of the interview all throughout.
Jill's the GOAT.
The absolute GOAT.
Jill is the GOAT, man.
Thank you so much for that.
I was kind of, I was a little surprised to hear Domas say he jumped at the opportunity. I thought maybe there'd have to be a little more convincing.
Or maybe jumped after his wife said, hey, maybe, maybe you should look into this a little bit.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see his everyday life.
And big thanks to the Chatty House brought to you by MatthewsMattress.com. We did try to get to the wine recommendations, Mrs. Mac-10, Big John Poles. We did try to get those. I'm sorry. We'll ask about his free throws on a different day.
You don't even have to ask that, Loki. He's working on his free throws.
Well, I actually, this would have been the next question. How does it feel to be the most hated center in the NBA? That would have been, I think that would have been a solid last question.
Would have asked. I was like, man, let me just keep it on the show, man. Let me just keep it on the show.
You want us to jump Draymond Green when Golden State arrives?
Ask him, have you been doing shoulder workouts? Make sure they're in prime condition for this season, because people in the Bay Area seem to think that's all you use is the shoulder.
I hope Stacy sends out an email about how we had DeMontis Sabonis on the show today. That was pretty dope.
Yeah.
I don't think you get it. Do you get it? Jesse, I think Jesse caught it.
I thought I got it, but Jesse, I don't know.
I don't know. I'll share. Well, Zabo says,
that's crazy.
That's
crazy. No, Kyle ain't seeing it. You got to show Kyle.
That's
crazy.
Hey.
Hey, put it on a shirt.
Man.
Oh, man.
King season starts next week, baby. Game 1 week from, I keep forgetting, is it Wednesday or Thursday?
It's a Wednesday. I think it's the
1 week from Wednesday. It is the 9th. I just can't remember if that's Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday
Thursday
against the Warriors.
It is. That's right. At the Golden 1 Center. Yeah. 7:30 start.
Oh, let's go. Hey, we outside. 7:30. We need more of those.
No, we don't. One, we don't need any.
We need more of them 7:30s.
The 49ers play on Thursday, too.
Oh, yeah.
They're in Seattle for that one.
Yeah, because the Kings play on Sunday, and I won't be watching Giants.
No, we've been over this. We went over this. It's a 3:00 start.
Yeah, I'm just going to hang out in Doco after. And
is a home game. Yeah, you're right. You're
going
right,
to hang
you're
out
right.
in the arena.
Yeah, that's a home game.
Stay away from the TV because it's Giants and Bears? Somebody terrible.
It's not fun.
Somebody where I just rolled my eyes.
It's not fun. But, yeah, that's one of those days where we can – yeah, that's a good call. We could just hang out at the Golden 1 Center that day. Come hang out. Chatty House Meetup.
Chatty House Meetup, for sure. Man, did you see earlier –
Jake Gaten, by the way, going to join us. This is a tough spot. Jake is the old school Divas match. Jake is the Divas pillow fight after the
what was my girl's name? Not Tori. Who was the
Tori Wilson?
Not a little feisty one.
AJ?
No. CM Punk? This is like Sable era. What was a little feisty one? Ivory.
Oh, I don't think Ivory was little.
She looked little. I'm bad with people's height on TV, I guess.
Yeah, I think you're a little wrong. Ivory wasn't little.
She wasn't tall.
No, she wasn't tall.
She was just average height.
I guess so, yeah.
But yeah, Ivory versus Tory.
Yeah, this is tough. Terry. That's who I think you're thinking of. I think you're thinking of Terry.
Terry.
Goldust. Marlena.
Oh, Terry. No, I know Marlena.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. All right. All right.
I didn't forget her.
All right. All right. Salute. 916-909.
She was a little something, too. And she who put her tiny. In a bear hug? It was China.
China. China looked like she killed her on pay-per-view.
That's right.
916-909-1320. Let's get our brother TC in here. TC.
Hey.
Here on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. TC, what's up, baby?
Yes, sir. What's up with my two brothers?
What's up, TC? TC has a drop on the morning roast. The high level loser is a drop.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Hey, Kitty, I told you I went crazy that morning, man.
I still got to go back and hear that because you said, yeah, Butch, all upset. I got to hear what happened.
He talked about it because they had like an hour left in the show, bro. He talked about it the rest of the show. He still talk about it every day. Listen in the morning. He always tell me, high low. Hey, that's the core, bro, because it's the truth. When somebody talk about that, bro, it'd be the truth, bro. That would be truth about that dude, bro. I'm talking Kings right now.
What you got, man?
I love that interview, bro. We moving up in the world. I like that. We got Domas on the line. When y'all said Domas, I said, ooh, look at my boys. They can't stop nobody. Stop playing. Hey, look. Hey, Zabo, stop playing. He's talking about too many D's.
No, hey. No, we ain't even say that out loud, TC. It was just on the screen. Oh, TC.
That was low-key a classic call by TC
feeling good today, though. TC feeling good today.
Don't mind. Stop my boys.
I'll say this. We don't get many Kings interviews, but when we do, man, boy, they hit.
Absolutely.
They hit.
Absolutely. But, I mean, I saw Domas on another interview this morning where you're talking with Kay Adams. And he was like, yeah, they're trying to start beef saying Anthony Edwards shaded you on the red carpet or whatever the case may be. He's like, oh, this guy get along with the best. What are you talking about? but just getting Domas in that arena, you know, like getting him on that national stage. That comes off a summer of DeMar DeRozan, or at least, you know, the last month or so of DeMar DeRozan.
Right now. Yeah, I mean, he's been here since July.
Yeah, man. So, you know, it's good to see these guys.
I feel like DeMar been a king for a year and a half at this point.
Right. Get this type of national recognition. And, you know, I think it's just going to lead into how they play this year. And, you know, they're going to start getting recognition for that as a team, as a good team. I was talking to Deuce yesterday, he was talking. He made a great point, and I agree with it. You know, another thing that we may be overlooking is the continuity that these guys have. Most of these guys, you know, outside of DeMar, this is their third season together. Third season with Mike Brown as the coach. The time to, you know, kind of learn the system or learn each other and all this other stuff, they've graduated from that, it feels like. It should be kind of on cruise control now and just read and react. Like, you know what Keegan is going to do. You know how, you know, Fox is going to penetrate to the cup and then dish out and be ready. Like, all that stuff is gone. And, you know, it's just going to be about them executing at this point. And I think that's a positive. That's something that, you know, they may be, you know, needed a year or two to get through.
I think we also may be underestimating. There are going to be some adjustments that have to be made.
Well, yeah. With
Harrison is gone. Yeah. You know? Like, Harrison's been here. Harrison has been with De'Aaron for a long time. Mm-hmm. He's been with this. We didn't think he was going to be with this, what became the Beam team. We thought he was going to be gone before that team started. And he wasn't. And he was a part of that. He was a part of the building. He was a part of ending the streak. He was a part of all of that. And, you know, Davion's gone. Davion has been pretty important the last few years, despite his ups and downs with Mike. There's, you know, it's not going to be, you know, having DeMar here is certainly exciting. It's not going to be, you know, without its bumps. Mm-hmm. You just hope that a lot of those bumps are in practice and far fewer of them are in the 82-game schedule, where last season was nothing but, and today's game is no example, it was nothing but bumps. Mm-hmm. You know, how many games did we have where we were like, man, what a win for Sacramento? Yeah, they lost the next game to such and such. Right. Oh, what a game it was by Sacramento. Yeah, because they lost to Charlotte the night before. Mm-hmm. That was like really, I mean, that's my biggest takeaway from this list is no matter how many highs we find, and when I say this list, for those that are the KC's top 20 games of the Kings season, when the number one takeaway I have from this list is no matter how many amazing highs we had in the season, the lows were not far away. Yeah. They were either right behind or right in front, but they weren't, they were a stone's throw away. They were within arm's reach. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, there weren't very many stretches in this season where we were able, where we were fully able to get away from those lows.
And it feels like if this is the new, just one 9-game losing streak, but if they were able to, we've talked about this at least 10 times during this list. If during one of those times they would have been able to bookend it with a nice stretch.
That's right, yep.
And then the game that we're talking about, and then another nice stretch.
Yep.
Feels like that's the playoffs right there.
Right.
That's the playoffs.
Yep. So, the actual playoffs.
Right. And they weren't able to do it last year.
We'll come back. Jake Gaden from CBS 13, or as some of you know him, John from Connecticut.
We got beef this week. You know,
That's fine. What you guys do on your own time is your business. Jake Gaden joins us when T-Lo and KC return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, we are back here. Our man Jake Gaden from CBS 13 joining us with the stupidest jersey I've ever seen.
I agree.
On his person right now, just grinning from ear to ear. He loves nothing talking about Northeast sports. John from Connecticut. Our man Jake gearing up for the I do love this juxtaposition of having the Cowboys jersey on one, or excuse me, the 49ers jersey on one screen and the Patriots jersey on the other.
Although he's in a celebratory mood. The AL East is his Yankees once again. I mean, they took care of business. I like the Yanks, though, so I ain't got nothing bad to say about the Yanks. I like the Yanks.
Okay.
How can you not like the Yanks? Aaron Judge is the man, okay? All rise for the Judge. Baseball is back in the box in October. It's going to be great.
That is one of the great atmospheres in sports.
Absolutely.
Playoff baseball in Yankee Stadium
absolutely
is bonkers. I can't wait to see it.
Can I tell you a secret, guys?
What's up?
I might be going back for a playoff game.
Oh. Oh, that's how you feel?
I feel so confident in this team making it to the World Series that I will literally kill myself if I do not believe.
Well, don't do that.
Yeah, Jake, can we, okay?
Don't do that.
I believe it is our professional responsibility to urge you to do no such thing.
Just saying you'll be upset.
I'll be very upset if that does not happen. So I am going to go back for a game. I don't know which one yet. Maybe ALDS, ALCS type vibes. Maybe World Series. Who knows? We'll see what I can get my hands on.
Very good, man. That's exciting. Exciting time of year as baseball enters its best part of the season. Football is underway. You'll be at Media Day on Monday. Practice on Tuesday. Much like us, you got an opportunity to talk to Domantas Sabonis. How'd that conversation go, and what were your takeaways from talking to the All-Pro?
I love that Sabonis, being the guy that we know him as, is a quiet individual, very private, opening his life up for everyone to kind of see and peek through the window of who he is as a person, because his story is incredible, right? Like, his father was a legendary NBA player. He's become such a great player here in Sacramento and an All-Pro here in Sacramento. But then he also has this incredible home life with his wife, Shoshana, his son, Tiger, their newborn daughter as well. And, like, if you've seen him on the sidelines prior to games, he's always playing with his kids. I'm excited to show the rest of the country what Sacramento is about, but specifically what Domantas Sabonis is about, because the guy is an incredible human being beyond basketball, just a great human being, and I'm excited for everyone to see that.
Yeah, man, I can't wait to see it either, man. I think I think his day to day, and even after listening to this interview and everything, it's going to be a little more interesting than people probably thought. You know, what he does on a daily basis, what he does as a husband and a father in his off days and stuff like that, and even just seeing them going through that season. You know, maybe they get his reaction after they lose to Detroit, and you know, he tells the camera, "No, not now, guys, cut it," you know, something like that. So I think this is going to be a really good series, and it's going to be good for him too.
It'll be good to put Sack on the map. Mm-hmm. I think it'll give people a person to root for out here, especially with the season that they're about to kick off, like you said, on Monday, which I think is the most anticipated season Kings fans have had in the past decade.
Do you feel good about the season? Do you feel good about where this team is at? Like, not everybody loved the DeMar DeRozan signing. Do you feel good about the steps this team has taken?
I do. I still wish they made one more move to get a little longer lengthwise at the forward position. But, hey, if they want to play small ball and look like the Warriors did a couple of years ago, so be it. I think there's a lot of X factors this season. I love DeMar or Debo or whatever you want to call him. I think that veteran leadership is going to be phenomenal in that locker room. Plus, another guy that can go get a bucket when you need it. Right, like when it comes to Malik Monk, when it comes to De'Aaron being able to take a little pressure off of them. But the things I don't think people are talking about is twofold. One, the ability to play with DeMontis and how well they're going to probably play off each other in that 1-2 pick and roll. And then two, how it maybe alleviates Keegan Murray and what he has to do maturation-wise this next year. If they didn't bring in DeMar, okay, you're going to put a lot on Keegan Murray's shoulders for year three. And I think it maybe takes a little bit off of it. I also, you know, the X factor this year for me is Kevin Huerter. Like, I still think he's one of the best shooters in the NBA. He's one of the best rebounding guards in the NBA. I just don't know how he will be if he has to come off the bench instead of start. I think that's the biggest question mark that we have going into next week. What does that look like? But I'm confident. I know, you know, KC was picking, what, 52 wins, my guy? Like, I'm still in that role. I like 48 to 52. Like, I still think that's a very attainable thing this year. And I think they're going to be playing in that 4 or 5 seat. Like, that's what we're looking at. No playing. I think they're going to get out of it. And I think the West got a little weaker with some of the departures. That's my personal opinion.
Do you look at DeRozan coming in and the positives of him coming in and what he brings to the table and think that somebody's numbers are going to have to go down? And if you do, who do you think's numbers maybe go down, even though the team might be a little better?
I think numbers, when you talk numbers, Casey, are you talking minutes played or points per game?
More so points per game. You know, whose numbers maybe take a dip in that category?
I think maybe Keegan Murray's numbers go down a bit. I think maybe Malik doesn't take as many shots as he used to. But again, I'm considering it this way. I think still Malik Monk comes off the bench with Keon Ellis, and that's the 1-2 punch that you have coming off the bench. And maybe Keon, you know, is more the defender, while Malik is more of what De'Aaron is, which is the attacker, the point scorer. I don't know where the points are. You know, Harrison Barnes, you got to account for those points. I know they're minimal majority of last season, but like, there was times where we needed Harrison to do well, and he didn't. That's why he lost the game. So that's where I think points maybe don't diminish. I think that's where you gain the points to win a game.
I do think there is a bit of an adjustment without HB, and there will be guys that have to learn to step into kind of that role. Like, Harrison didn't always succeed in the moment of, like, calming everything down, but he did. There were plenty of times where he did, and whether it's DeMar, who has done it time and time again throughout his entire career, whether it's De'Aaron stepping into that role, Domas, whether this is where Keegan's next step of maturation comes from, somebody's going to have to do that. And I guess the good problem to have is they got a variety of guys that can do it. But there is a, you know, as much as we got to get Harrison out of here, as much as whether that's the case or not, there is a bit of a void here that someone is going to have to step in and fill at various points throughout the season.
Oh, totally agree. I think that's where the X factor comes in, of where do these guys fill these minutes, and rotationally, like, what does it look like? And do we figure that out within the first 2 months, right? Like, I think Mike, that's the big question I have coming in on Monday. Like, hey, Mike, what does the rotation look like? And like, are you okay with it being not settled for the first 2 months of the season and figuring it out by December, January, or are you still going to tinker with it all the way to February? Like, that's where my biggest question mark is, because everything else is settled. They have continuity within the roster. They a lot of guys know their roles or what their roles are going to be. It's just putting the puzzle pieces together to make it all come together and have a winning formula.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. I think you mentioned it. I said it a little bit as well, but that the continuity that this group has, I think, is an underrated factor to this season. And there is an adjustment period I with DeMar coming in and everything. I expect that, but I don't think it's going to last very long.
Agree.
You know, I think it's going to be something that they get the hang of and start to feel good about relatively early, and then that's when the familiarity of the core of this group comes into play, and I think they're going to be really good in the regular season.
Agree. Now,
my biggest question is: do they take down the Pelicans? That's what I want to know. Can they beat the Pelicans team?
Don't quote me on any of that. I don't know.
At some point, they're going to have to. Like, for goodness sakes, at some point they're going to.
Or just win all the other games and don't be.
I guess you can do that too. Let's get to why you look so ridiculous today.
This
Jake said on Sunday night, hey. It's Patriots week, baby. Get me on the show.
It's Patriots week. What you talking about, man?
It's the 49ers and the Patriots, man. Patriots, you know, my man Jake Gayton is excited. Now let's – come on, man. Let's talk. This Patriots team ain't it. Like, I know you're repping your squad, but, like, it's mandatory. Like, this Patriots team ain't it, is it?
No. If we're a top five pick this next year, I think that makes me happy, because we need a left tackle. I think when I look at this game, I say this is a get right game for the 49ers, especially on defense. Patriots have no offensive line. So, like, I think Nick Bosa is going to go off this game for maybe a sack or a sack and a half. The wide receiving core is young, inexperienced, and I think that they're going to be locked down. I think if there's anything good about that Patriots offense, it's Jacoby Brissett not making mistakes. He doesn't turn the ball over, and then the rushing attack led by Ramondre Stevenson. But what Stevenson did this past week against the Jets, you sit there and you're like, on Thursday Night Football last week, you're like, all right, well, this is not good. If Stevenson can't run the ball, how are they going to move the ball? So 49ers defense hasn't looked good for the past 2 weeks, especially last week against the Rams. I sit there and say this is a get-right game at home in San Francisco in front of your home crowd. And then offensively, you know, this Patriots defense is still really good. It has a lot of Bill Belichick in it still. Gerard Mayo is a disciple of him. So I think you're going to see a lot of mixed defenses, a lot of what you saw maybe in Minnesota as well, which I'm excited to see.
Jake,
what's going on?
You got to close your messenger or your email or somebody is trying to get a hold of you right now.
You got to update his Windows.
And it's quite jarring.
My mom's calling me right now.
Okay, Mama Gayden, we'll be with you shortly. Just text back, Mom is in an emergency. I'll be right with you.
That's literally what I'm about to say. I'm on the radio. Are we good? Getting back to it. I think that, you know, what you saw 2 weeks ago in Minnesota and the Brian Flores defense, I think that's going to be a big type of defense that you'll see from the Patriots this past week. So this next week. So how Brock Purdy does, especially with the rumors with Deebo Samuel possibly being back in the fold, that's going to be very, very intriguing, because it's a tough defense to play against. Even Aaron Rodgers admitted to it last week. This is going to be a grind-out game. It's not going to be high-scoring, and if it is, it's going to be because of a 49ers blowout.
Well, let me ask you this then, to kind of piggyback off that. What does a Patriots win look like on Sunday, in your opinion?
A 14-10 win. Maybe even a 10-6 win.
So week one against the Bengals, where it's 16-10, Bengals turn the ball over 2-3 times, and the Patriots just don't turn it over or mess it up, basically.
Mistake-free football. And they're going to win at the battle of attack, or be more physical than the other team. And they're not going to beat you with their skill guys, because they don't got skill guys. Simple as that. Like, it's just they're not as good as a Deebo or an Ayuk or a George Kittle or even a Jordan Mason. Let's be real about this. So if you're asking me what a Patriots win looks like, it's like a six, like you said, a 16-10 game. It's a field goal fest, and no touchdowns thrown in at Levi Stadium on Friday or Sunday.
Take care of the football, 49ers. You got this.
You love the Patriots. You cover the San Francisco 49ers. Not the best start, not the start everybody was hoping for the San Francisco 49ers. What's your early assessment of the way this team looks right now? Anything to be concerned about just early in the season, injuries?
I would say injuries are definitely an issue. I'm quite concerned about Christian McCaffrey. Like, the tendonitis thing is, I have a buddy that has dealt with tendonitis through his whole entire playing career and couldn't finish college because of it. So I think the tendonitis thing is something to definitely keep an eye on with Christian McCaffrey. But when you look at this team, it doesn't look perfect, and it doesn't look like together. Like, there's just the vibe. I think we've all talked about this. The vibes seem off on a consistent basis on how they play and they move the ball, how they're practicing. Like, the vibes are definitely different up in Santa Clara. And I think until they have that get right game where everything goes right and they just dominate from start to finish, I don't feel like any 49er fan or any team covering them or any person covering them is going to say, yeah, this looks like the 49er team that we expect. I personally believe that they need to have like a couple more weeks until you really can assess what this team actually looks like. Give it to me by week 7 or week 8, and then we'll have a better idea of what it looks like. But right now, to start the season, it's the vibes aren't good. Especially, like, remember last year they started like 4-1 or something like that. Like, that is when the vibes were good. You felt like, okay, they separated themselves from the pack and they're able to win games in a variety of different ways. And now you're sitting at 1-2 and you're like, well, that last one didn't look good against the Rams. They came back and won. And that Vikings game really didn't look good. And the week 1 game against the Jets, they did look good, but it was the first week of football. So, like, vibes are different, I would say. Vibes are definitely different this year.
Jake, your Patriots were, is it the only team to lose the Super Bowl and go back and win the following year? What was the, from your memory, like, what was that season like? Because everybody talks about the Super Bowl hangover and all this other stuff. Do you kind of remember how they went about that championship year to get over the Super Bowl hangover? Was it something that started from the start of the season, or did they kind of get their footing as the season went along?
I got their footing when the season went along. And I remember, like, there was a struggle at the beginning of the year to find out who was that guy, right? Julian Edelman wasn't doing great. Gronkowski, if I can remember correctly, was pretty banged up to start the year. So I remember it didn't look perfect at the beginning of the year. But that, you got to remember, you're not going to win a Super Bowl in September. You're not going to win a Super Bowl in October. You win a Super Bowl in January.
Do we know that for sure?
Positive.
Has this 100% idea been studied?
Well, you know, you can't – what did he say? You can't – lose games and win in the NFL.
Well, that's the great Trent Dilfer. You can't lose games and win in the NFL. That's truer words have never been spoken.
For real, fam. For real. So I think when you look at the Patriots and how they won that back after coming off a Super Bowl loss, a lot to do with Tom Brady, be real with you on that. A lot to do with Bill Belichick, but they found their form in December and November and then took off from there. The big thing for the Patriots, and I think that's the thing with the 49ers for the rest of this season, take care of the division. You can take care of the division, win your other game against the Rams at home, be able to beat the Seahawks. Like, those are the games that I count the most, because if you win your division, you're guaranteed to make the playoffs, and then you go from there.
We've been talking a lot. It really kind of, the conversation got a little bit louder after the Carolina Panthers decided to kind of move away from Bryce Young at this point. Your Patriots also have a young quarterback in Drake May. Jacoby Brissett is kind of the guy under center right now. That has started to come into question already this year. But what was your assessment on Drake May? And maybe not necessarily Drake May the player, but more that situation. Did you think it was something where, hey, this offensive line can't protect him, this team isn't good enough, we'd be setting him up for failure? Or was it more of like, he's not very good, our best bet right now is Jacoby Brissett?
No, I really believe it's the former rather than the latter. I think truly, when you look at Drake May and who he is, I think when he has struggled, especially in North Carolina, it was because he didn't have the right people around him. But when he did have the right people around him, he flourished with the Tar Heels. So I don't think it's setting the young stud up for success, right? I think you look around the league and you look at players like Sam Darnold, for example, like not a great situation in the New York Jets, got thrown to the fire, and now is found his footing in Minnesota after a great year last year with San Francisco. I think that's what people are starting to realize in the NFL of like, you can't just throw the rookie for the Wolves. Like, you've got to have a good situation for him to set up. So for me, I am a huge proponent of having Jacoby Brissett still start every single week until like week 7 or 8. I think they have a bye week in week 6 and then they play Miami week 7 or something like that. Like, I think that would be a perfect situation and when you put Drake May and put him in the fire, because there'll be a time he needs to play. He needs to get the reps. I wouldn't sit him out and have a redshirt year. But at the same time, I'm not going to start him from week 1 and have an offensive line. Like, they don't have a left tackle, guys. They have no left. He would get killed by Nick Bosa if he started this week. He would literally be eaten by Nick Bosa. That's why people have been clamoring in New England about trying to make sure that Drake May starts this week. No! Let the dude cook under Jacoby Brissett, figure out what it means to be an NFL quarterback, and then when you got the concepts of what the offense looks like and you have the guys around him to be able to win, then you go. Like right now, like I said at the beginning, I'm gunning for a top 5 pick because we need a left tackle, and it needs to happen this next year. And then you can talk about, okay, is Drake May legitimately the guy moving forward?
Hey, Jake, I wanted to ask you because, like a number of different stories in this city since you've come here, you're all over the Sac State situation and them trying to make a push to get to FBS. And I know you were out in Oakland yesterday, so you didn't get a chance to go to the press conference. But, they look like they're moving forward, building this new stadium and doing everything they can to be appealing to these Pac-12 or Mountain West conferences. What's your feeling on that, man? How do you feel about the progress and if they're gonna be able to get this done?
I'm 50-50. Like, it's a great idea and I love the concept and we've talked about it. It's everything's there for it to happen. Like, I really do think Sac State can be an FBS program and can move into that. But where's the money coming from, fam? Like, I've been talking to people for the past week about this and just the concept of moving from FCS to FBS sometimes is not understood by everybody and what it takes to make that move and the money that's involved. Like, great, they have a football stadium for next year, hopefully within the next 2 years. That's going to help with recruiting. That's going to help with the program itself and not just the football recruiting, but the other sports that are going to play their track and field and rugby. Mm-hmm. But fam, have you been to the Nest? Like, the Nest is by far the worst college basketball venue I've personally ever been in. Some of the high schools, like Intercom High School right up the road, Grant High School might have a better setting for a basketball game than the Nest. I hate to say it. So I'm worried that we might have jumped a little too far too quickly. I want to know where this money is coming from because they still need to update the basketball arena to become an FBS program or move to the FBS level. They're still going to need to do updates to the other 20-something other sports that they have going on within the program. I'm not sketched by it. I'm hesitant to be excited about it until I know where the dollars and cents are. And there's actually shovels in the ground because you guys have been here for much longer than I have. Wasn't this a thing where they announced at one point that they were going to redo, the stadium and then it never happened? Like, that's where my worry is. Like, it's a bunch of talk, but there's no actual progress with it.
For me, the difference between this time and the other times is, number one, I feel like they're a lot more vocal about it, a lot more out front with everything. And they've gone outside of the typical, we need donors to give back to get the money. They're going to businesses. They're going to the city to try and get this done. And I think that's the difference between all the efforts in the past. You're right. We won't know anything until the shovels are in the ground. But this one feels different. And I think President Luke Wood and AD Michael Orr, they kind of look at this as their legacy. What they're able to do with this is going to cement them, in the history of that university for a long time, and they take that seriously. And I think they're hell bent on getting this done one way or another.
I got one more thing I want to add. Make sure there's something clarified for everybody, because I've been asked, "Hey, is Republic FC a part of this and this rebuild and everything like that?" And for everything that I've talked to people, it sounds like Republic FC is not a part of this. And if they were, it would have to be something where they're not using artificial turf to play on. And I believe the stadium has artificial turf. So if anybody has questions about, okay, is Republic FC going to play there because they don't like playing at Heart Health Park, from everything I've heard, there's nothing to do with it. It's so, two separate entities.
So I haven't heard anything either, but I watched a press conference back, and I was talking about this during the break a little bit. And President Luke Wood, he mentioned in the coming weeks they're going to unveil more information about this. And he said it twice. He said something about, yeah, naming rights and tenants. And I don't know. The Kings ain't using the field as a tenant, so there's only one other team.
Can I clarify what he probably meant by tenant then? I think if you remember, CIF, is looking for high school football venues for state championships.
Very true. Very true.
I think that if I had a guess, and this is just me guessing, like I said, I think that's the tenant he's probably saying. Like, hey, NorCal championships, state championships held at Sacramento State, which would be an incredible venue, especially if it's redone within the next 2 years, because we have a lot of great venues up here that are underutilized in that respect.
Jake, you are the man, my friend.
No.
And your team's going down this Sunday.
Okay, so Kenny, what are we betting on?
Well, you notice he didn't commit to Sports Sunday just in case. In case something goes wrong, he can be like, oh, no, the wife said I had to. Like, I caught that. I don't know if you caught it, Jake. I'm around this guy 10 hours a day, every day for the last 4 years. Like, I know what that meant.
I'm there. We win in this
one. Kenny, what's that, though? What are we doing?
Man, a little bottle? Another one of them Grey Goose bottles up there, man.
Say less. Say less. I want a Merlot, okay, if I win.
There we go.
You got it.
We appreciate you, Jake. We'll see you Sunday night, my man.
Deuces, fam.
Take care, man.
Jake Gaydon right there, CBS 13. He does. We have fun with Jake. He does a great job. He was all over the A story, the Sacramento portion of it, and he's been all over the Sac State stuff as well. We'll come back. We got Eddie Gonzalez joining us. In the 2 o'clock hour, we still got a lot to talk about. We've got a rookie of the year. We got a defensive player of the year, not named Asia Wilson. We'll talk about it. Stealing with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. My multitasking abilities are falling short, bro.
Oh, man, you good, man. You good. Somebody brought up a good point in the chat. Collins. Or no, it wasn't Collins. Who was it? Where'd it go? Well, I don't know. But somebody asked, oh, yeah, what's Collins? He said, speaking of wearing jewelry, when is Pershaw slated to return? Ricky Pershaw.
Who was speaking of wearing jewelry?
It happened during the break.
Oh.
But
who was talking about
it? That's a good point. I forgot. This is the last game of his IR term or whatever in his practice window, which me and Kyle were talking about earlier, should be this next week. His practice window should open up. And, you know, I don't know if he's ready to play or not, but the guy was out there 7 days later, out there on the side field doing stuff. So he might be ready to go as soon as he gets off the IR. I'm just glad he's here.
I hope he's good. Like, the brother was shot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot that I think goes into that. That I know he's a football player and the football aspect and like all of that. I hope there's other parts of his rehab.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I hope there's other things that my man is going through.
Yeah.
But look, he's here. Good for him. I hope, in fact, that he is back. Sooner rather than later, because one of the best things for him has to be getting out there on the football field. But,
yeah, and that's the other aspect. Maybe you never know. It's person to person. You know, maybe him not being able to do anything is worse for his psyche or
for
emotion
sure.
or something like
Absolutely.
That. And there's a sense of normalcy that he wants to get back to. But I'm with you. Let's make sure first. You know what I mean? Let's make sure physically, mentally, and emotionally, he's in a place to return. So,
absolutely. Yeah. We've got, man, there's a lot to cover from the W. Caitlin Clark named the WNBA Rookie of the Year.
Air horns for that, man. Great, great rookie season for Caitlin.
Yeah. Indeed. Nafisi Collar named Defensive Player of the Year. I'd like
that.
To track down, actually, if I could. I'm going to need you to take care of something on Instagram here in just a moment, because I posted some clips from our DeMontis Sabonis conversation. Big shout out to Leezy and Jesse for turning those around so quickly. I wonder if I could track down the voting. Nafisi Collar certainly very, very, very deserving. I did think that Asia was pulling double duty.
Mm.
I thought she was going to pull the Jordan, Olajuwon, Giannis,
Giannis,
did Giannis do
defensive
it?
Defensive player of the year MVP.
Wait, who? Somebody just did it. Wasn't it?
It had to be Giannis.
Yeah, I think it was too.
Yeah.
Jokic didn't.
No.
It wasn't Joe. It had to have been Giannis.
Yeah, I'm going.
Or I'm just making it up. Who knows?
I'm going.
Who knows? Who knows? And all of this comes after Teresa Witherspoon got fired last
night. That was bizarre.
It's not, and I'm going to tell you why. I've had Michael Alter's probably the worst owner in the league. Go ahead,
Giannis did in 2020. Yeah,
he did. Okay, yeah. Thank you. 2020. That's why I can't remember. Shout out to Rory, who said it was Draymond. That's terrific.
And real quick, our guy Nick Wagner states Kittle's good to go for Sunday.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So George Kittle will be back in the lineup and on the field.
I feel like it was precautionary.
Understandable.
I think they maybe were a little spooked by whatever went on and were just like, hey, let's.
Well. You know, if it was a playoff game, he would have played.
Well, did he say that about – who did he say that about?
I think De'Aaron.
McCaffrey? No.
The original. Oh, Kyle's just said it the other day.
Yeah.
I feel like he said that about McCaffrey or the going into week one.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Which I'm glad it wasn't a playoff game, and I'm glad he didn't play.
Let's just retire that line of thinking forever. Forever, forever, forever.
Yeah, because you're not right. You're not right. Like, if you can't play, you're not right. It don't really matter.
He's not playing for the first, like, 6 weeks of the season, and you're going to tell me if he was going to play if it was a playoff game? Stop it. Stop it. Teresa Witherspoon, the head coach of the Chicago Sky, was fired. So, first of all, Angel's tweet was weird.
Angel did a lot of tweeting.
Well, okay. I want to talk to you about that.
Okay.
I want to address this first. She said, you're the reason I came to Chicago.
Well, that's not necessarily true. You were drafted by Chicago, ma'am.
Angel, what are you doing? Like, Angel, I'm really trying. Like, I'm trying really hard with you. That was just bizarre. Like, okay, it's fine. Like, I get it. Like, I thought this is a terrible decision. But this, like, Michael Alter is a terrible owner. And having very intimate knowledge of what Teresa Witherspoon was making for the Chicago Sky, Teaspoon, good for you.
Mm.
Get the hell out of there. Get back to the NBA or if there's a job opening. I mean, I think there's one open in Los Angeles right now. I don't know exactly what they're looking for. But, yeah, just an absolutely ridiculous move.
I couldn't believe
by Michael
Alter that.
In the Chicago Sky.
And I've heard you talk about him as an owner before, so that aspect isn't necessarily surprising, but it's still, you know, she had them playing really well. She had the ladies on that squad believing in her, even if they, you know, weren't able to get to the playoffs and stuff like that. Kennedy Carter, Angel Reese, Cardozo, they played for her.
It felt like she was the perfect coach for that group.
Yeah.
Just the perfect coach. So I was really disappointed to see that. I don't I don't trust whatever Chicago does next is going to be in the best interest of Chicago and those women there. So best of luck to Angel and the rest of that group that I do believe is talented, that I do believe has, they have something. Like there is something there for Chicago. They need someone outside Kennedy Carter to be that go-to scorer. Finding a coach that can vibe with Kennedy Carter and Angel Reese, I think that's going to be difficult. I thought you had it. Best of luck to Michael Alter and that group in Chicago, and hopefully it doesn't derail what I think is a pretty talented group there. There's a number of things, other things, you know, to get into. I do want to ask you about this. You are obviously aware of Angel's tweeting in recent days. I thought this isn't, you know this, I'm not like sneak attacking you with this. Mm-hmm. I thought you were a little harsh on Caitlin yesterday. Mm-hmm. I understood the place that you were coming from. I just didn't necessarily agree with it. Maybe you weren't harsh. Maybe I just didn't agree. Mm-hmm. That's all it was. Angel tweeted a lot about what she has been through. And I felt like, and maybe this is me taking your Caitlin stance, and maybe I'm being unfair to Angel, and I'm just strengthening a position that I had months ago, and you might be doing the exact same thing with Caitlin. Mm-hmm. I feel like Angel did a lot of me and I. When I heard Alyssa Thomas the other day, she was talking about us. When I heard Brittany Griner yesterday, and God, I can only imagine what Brittany faced this season. Mm. She did a lot of we and us. Angel was me and what you put me through, and I, and this is why I did this, and I started my podcast. And you talked about protecting Black women and Alyssa's speech following, or it wasn't a speech, like she was talking, Alyssa speaking after that game. And I felt like, man, Angel had a lot of I's and me's when Alyssa had a lot of we's and us's, and I felt like those two messages didn't link. Maybe they were trying to say the same thing, and Angel's not as eloquent as Alyssa is with words. Maybe she's not at that place in her life yet. Mm-hmm. But I read what Angel wrote with the belief I understood what she was trying to say and felt like she completely missed the mark. Now, maybe that's not fair because I heard Alyssa and then a veteran like Brittany Griner mm-hmm. talk about it in a completely different way, whereas Angel is still very young in all of this. Uh-huh. And maybe I'm stalling her out. I'm not sure. But I didn't like anything she tweeted.
I think my thought with what Angel was talking about was more so of the perspective of somebody who has been going through this since before the WNBA is going through it. She's been dealing with this specific situation for the better part of, what was it, 3 years, 2 years now?
I mean, since that national championship. Yeah. So that's 2 years, three now?
Yeah. And when she talks about I and me, it's more so, it felt, when I read the tweets, and I couldn't really keep up, to be honest with you, I read about three of them, but I didn't know if they were in order or what. But it was more so of, you guys thought I was crazy when I was saying this stuff 2 years ago and how I had to deal with this stuff 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now you see, maybe I'm not so crazy. Maybe these are the things that I did go through. So when I read that, it wasn't from a place of the WNBA. It was her talking about her experience and for the last three, before she even got to the WNBA. And that's kind of how I took it. But I mean,
and you might very well be right. I think her years are off because she's actually been villainized for 3 years, not two. but hey, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. It's just tough.
And Caitlin spoke about it again this morning.
And
she was asked about it, and she said everything she said the entire time. She said the same, and what I would classify the same correct thing every single time she's asked about it.
So are you good with that? Like, I guess I'm still not sure what you want.
I understand there's not much she can do about it. I understand that. But also in Exit interview, Aaliyah Boston was talking about what she went through from her own quote unquote fan base until they got good. And they asked her about it. They were like, and like I said, it's coming from the same place and it's directed to the same type of women.
Yeah.
Seattle Storm.
I got you.
Fan base doing it. And that's all. I don't know how to fix it, but I see it's the same thing every time.
Can I point out, too? I want to bring Eddie in here. It's not new. It's just being paid attention to differently.
Do you think it's not new, though? Because they're all saying, I've never experienced nothing like this.
Yeah, because they weren't in the league 10 years ago. Why? Ask Coach K. Our Coach K. Mm-hmm. This isn't new. It's not. Ask Rebecca Brunson. But what it would come from, it's more the, back then, it was more the coded stuff where you'd see things like Rebecca used to have the twists, like the locks. And you'd see members of the Monarchs fan base like touching her hair like, why don't you cut this? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's not what Dejanay, and it's not that. It's closer to what the lady with the nails, right? It's closer. When you see it, you can read through it. If you were just outwardly gay, like they've been dealing with this from jump. It's just under a different microscope now, and it appears it's gotten a lot louder because the fan base has gotten a lot bigger.
Yeah. And I understand, once again, want to reiterate, there's not much, if anything, Caitlin can do. And everything that she can do, she is doing right now, using her voice and all this other stuff. So there's that aspect to it.